Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing Moffin South. AFC, white and blue, so pristine. Matt Carson, like the color scheme. We talking AFC.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. Little different, having something going down on the weekend here, but with the scouting combine, I figured we had a little bit to talk about anyhow. So let's kind of jump into it. First and foremost, like I said, thank you guys again for hanging with me and listening to the show. You guys have done a fantastic job of getting this show shared, and I've gotten messages from people that their families are listening to it and stuff. So that, I mean, that's great. I'm glad that you guys are into it. I'm into it. I love doing it. Of course, that's why we do the live shows for the most part, and it's a great way for us to connect and everything else. But we got to go down to the combine at least for a little more than a day, couple days this week. We didn't get I didn't get to stay for any of the workouts or anything like that. Had some other stuff to go to get to, but they've been great to watch, to see these guys on NFL Network's covering it live, and that's always very interesting, because you see these guys, you know, and they call it the underwear Olympics or whatever, and that's great. I mean, but if any of you are checking out what they're wearing, I mean, there was very few people in this that anybody really, you know, you get a sense of what kind of a physique these guys have anyways. But I think there was, you know, there was one guy that stood out to me as far as anything else. It's not so much like the underwear Olympics part of it, if you want to call it that, but I thought that he just looked like a different kind of guy. And it was, you know, lineman Braden Smith from Auburn. I thought that he just didn't, I mean, he looked more like a tight end to me. That was what I got from him. And I think that part of it's interesting. Some of these linemen, some of the defensive linemen, these guys are huge dudes, right? Talking 300 pounds, you know, plus. And that part of it, I guess you could say that I kind of enjoyed the fact that you get to see like a different, completely different type of body type with these guys. And I thought that was especially interesting in Smith's case. Not only that, but he was impressive. I mean, the dude was impressive. And I watched some of his film. He's become one of my kind of like draft crushes or whatever. And no, not just because I saw him in spandex. So in case you were wondering, but I wanted to go through some of what, you know, we saw some of the top performers and stuff at the combine. Also we'll go through some guys that the Colts are reportedly set to be interviewing or have interviewed, and so on and so forth. And you know what? Let's just do that first and get that out of the way. At least from what we have seen reported, Wyatt Teller, offensive lineman from Virginia Tech. Saquon Barkley said it himself in an NFL Network interview. DJ Moore, wide receiver from Maryland. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver from SMU. Malik Jefferson, linebacker from Texas, and Bradley Chubb have all apparently either had formal meetings with the Colts or intend to have formal meetings with the Colts. I think that some of these are kind of telling. Wide receiver, OL, edge guy, linebacker. I mean, this running back even. I mean, one of the best two players in the draft. Of course, they're going to talk to him anyways. And that's kind of been hotly debated. You know, Saquon Barkley did so well in the combine. Is it impossible, or should it be impossible for the Colts, you know, to like pass him up? We could have an argument about this forever, and it wouldn't. I don't know that anybody would actually be wrong, but there is something about drafting a running back third overall with a deep class of running backs that can all reasonably really vastly improve your roster. It's hard for me to go ahead and say, yeah, draft a running back, because I just don't think that there's that many good, I mean, other positions, especially like at edge. I mean, we need a defensive end who can rush the passer, stop the run, and be a complete force up front. I mean, we do. We need that bad, right? We don't have that. There's not many of those guys in this draft. There just aren't. I don't know. Passing on Bradley Chubb seems ignorant to me. I mean, if we don't go Bradley Chubb, Roquan Smith, maybe even Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, I think some people think that's high for him, but he's not going to fall far. I mean, he's going to be in the top 10. You know, there are other guys. I mean, even Quentin Nelson, I can make an argument for those more so than I could make it for Saquon Barkley. I understand. Look, Ezekiel Elliott, all these guys who have done great in the NFL, I understand. And I think that I would be – it's weird because you're torn. I'm torn. I would be happy because they'd have a stud back that the Colts have not had since Edgerrin James, period. Plain and simple. There's just no way around it. That would be just an insane thought. And it'd be great. And if they lucked out and got some guys later – you know, that could provide some pass rush or some good linemen that can protect Andrew and open up some running lanes for Saquon Barkley, then it all would work out, right? I mean, it's hard. It's hard. I am dying thinking about this, and it's driving me nuts because I'm so sold on, look, take the pass rusher, get yourself some linebacker help, get yourself some O-line help, but, you know, in there, one of those running backs are going to slip to the late second, third round or something like that. We don't know. I mean, right now the Colts have 7 picks. Is that all they end up with? That's the part we don't know. We can't know. Should they do something to where they gain more picks, they may end up getting, you know, a guy in the mid-second round, you know, that they want a running back or something along those lines. And it's hard to tell. Like I said, we don't know where the offensive line's going to fall. Some of those positions aren't very deep. You know, they tend to think, Chris Bauer tends to think that he can get a guy, you know, in that position, and an edge rusher for that matter, he did say, you know, not in the first round, so to speak. So it's such a hard conversation to have because people get heated on it, but it's just a legitimate conversation. It's a hard one to have, especially when you've got 2, 3, 4 guys that you think you could legitimately take with that number 3 pick and be excited about it, like really excited about it. So that part of it for me is hard. I tend to fall away from the running back thought. But, you know, then again, like I said, I would complain because – and that's what sucks about the first day of the draft, just round one. That's all you get, round one. So, of course, you have all night – to sit there and think about everything that's gone on in the draft. And, okay, we got Saquon Barkley with our first pick. Now, there's none of the top edge rushers or maybe a few of the top guards, a couple of the top tackles, you know, the top couple linebackers are off the board. So then the Colts really, you know, at least us as a fan base, we really go in on that at that point. And it's like, who are they going to get? How can they get him? There's going to be somebody that the Colts draft that's an unknown, I think. That's kind of like, whoa, that's a surprise, maybe. Or who the hell is that? Let's look him up. You know, that's kind of the way it goes, it seems like, every year. So we just get into this situation where you just want the Colts to have a successful draft. You want everything to go right. And you don't know who the pick is at first. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, hell, I could have the conversation, but I could argue with myself about different things, even Saquon Barkley, obviously, now. So when you're having this conversation with people, understand there's 2 or 3 guys here that are going to be elite. We're getting ready to watch the linebackers, the defensive linemen, and the edge rushers tomorrow. That's going to be early. So this is 9 a.m. Sunday. I mean, you got nothing else to get up for. Get up and watch these guys because this could, you know, Bradley Chubb has a crappy combine. Maybe that doesn't, you know, maybe that affects something. Some of these other linebackers, maybe they affect it by not having great workouts or something. We don't know yet, but it's going to be fun to watch, and I'm excited to see what actually comes out of this because I think that this is going to be one of the most entertaining groups that we've seen. So first round discussion, man. Guys, have it because it's one that somebody might have a wiser take on it than you, and you can at least consider it. But I think that you can go 3, 4 different ways here. I think the Colts could with their very first pick, pending that they stay at number 3 overall. So just, you know, try not to get too upset about it. But, man, it's a fun conversation to have because you can legitimately have 3 to 4 different arguments for it. And I don't, like I said, I don't know that anybody would be wrong. So backtracking just a little bit, I think it'll be, you know, some of these meetings are interesting. I think that, you know, you obviously have Chubb on there and Barkley, but, you know, Wyatt Teller, he's still funny. These guys all look like the same guy. You know, you've got Anthony Costanzo with long hair, and then the Colts, you know, have some guys that they drafted last year that have long hair, especially Joe Haig, and then now you have a guy like Wyatt Teller who, you know, almost looks exactly. I mean, you know, we're not even going to know who the hell they are eventually, because they're all going to have long, light brown hair, and we're not going to know who anybody is. But some of these other guys, I mean, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, these guys are good receivers. These guys are good players. These guys are all top 10, top 15 talents, in my opinion. Not so much Teller. I'm not getting there with him. But most of these guys that the Colts are interviewing, I would like to see them kind of push their way back with these interviews and get some of the guys that we're hearing about could be second or third round talents. I want to see who they're interviewing there. I mean, that's the part where you don't necessarily get the formal interview, and you end up seeing or hearing something about it after the fact. So I don't know that we're necessarily going to know who they've interviewed probably for the next few days, but should be interesting because, I mean, not only that, but we are so close to free agency, and obviously that's going to make a difference in how the Colts draft. The free agency market is an odd one this year, I think. I think that's safe to say, because there are so many good average to good guys that are there, but there are so many older guys that are just more than, you know, are going to ask more than what the Colts would obviously want to give, in my opinion, for a free agency contract. So there's definitely no lack of interest in any of that. So it should be fun to watch. And then we might have a little bit better gauge of what's going on in the draft once everything gets all situated with free agency. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with all the combine stuff here in just a moment, right here on the Colts Cast. Thank you guys for coming back. All right, let's get into it here. Let's start with the offensive line, okay? Will Hernandez had a hell of a session in the bench. He had 37, led all linemen. Braden Smith was second, the guy I talked to you guys about from Auburn. Very athletic dude, like kind of slim almost for a lineman, like I said. Just looks more like a tall tight end. It's really crazy. But Quentin Nelson also killed it with 35. Colby Gossett, not somebody that we've heard much about, had 32. Wyatt Teller, who I just talked to you guys about having an interview with the Colts, he had 30. Toby Weathersby with 28. Also Sam Jones with 28. And Timon Paris, Joseph Noteboom from TCU, Brian Allen from Michigan State, those guys all had 27. After that, it goes down to the 26, and you get a little bit more of the guys that we hear about. Connor Williams, Frank Ragno, Casey McDermott, Cole Madison, Scott Quisenberry even, you know, Will Cap. I mean, Clapp, these guys are all kind of in that group. But the elite definitely did over 30, these top five. Hernandez, Smith, Nelson, Gossett, and Teller. Those guys all did 30 or more. And, you know, those guys had, I mean, they're offensive linemen. Of course they're expected to be strong, right? I mean, but you get into some of the just brute strength stuff there with the bench. Doesn't really mean a whole lot, but you kind of want to see who the guys have been actually working out and doing that. So not a lot you can tell from that, in my opinion, from the combine. One of those drills that it's like, okay, of course we're testing strength, but, you know, what are we learning about football, functional strength from all that? Not much. We got this is the kind of the part here where you see the active guys, the athletic potential from some of these linemen, though, is when they do the vertical. That's obviously interesting. Connor Williams from Texas, 34 inches. Scott Quisenberry, 33.5. Also Braden Smith, Auburn, told you this guy's not only slim but and powerful, but athletic. Will Richardson, 31.5. Colton Miller, also from UCLA, a tackle, 31.5, and James Daniels at 30.5, as well as Rod Taylor. Tyrell Crosby from Oregon was the rest of the top group with 30 inches. Those guys are all pretty good jumps. These guys, like I said, most of these guys are high to, you know, 290s, 300 pounds. These are big boys. So not to be pushed aside, but Colton Miller from UCLA, he is from USA. 121-inch broad jump. That's pretty impressive. That was 7 inches longer than anybody else in the offensive line group. Wyatt Teller was next with 114. Braden Smith, a lot of these familiar names, right? You see the athleticism, and this is what they talk about, combining all of these traits into kind of a grade on their athleticism. And you can, you like I said, you're getting to hear more of the same names over and over. Brandon Parker at 113, Connor Williams from Texas at 112, Scott Quisenberry at 111, and to round that out, Coleman Shelton was at 110 inches. So you're getting to see kind of their athletic profile. Now here you get into the three cone and the 20-yard shuttle and the 60-yard shuttle. These are interesting times too, because some of these are pretty good. I mean, not just for all offensive linemen, pretty good in general. Brian O'Neill, 7.14 sec. That's impressive. James Daniels with 7.29. Colton Miller, Greg Sinnott from Wagner. He's like a late seventh round guy. I've been mock drafting him occasionally in the seventh round of the Colts. I'm going to have to watch him now that I keep seeing his name. But Wyatt Teller again at 7.45. And then Quisenberry round up the top half or the top pieces of the offensive line in that with 7.5. All pretty good times, especially some of them for offensive linemen, but the rest of them, all good times. Now, the linemen don't run the 20 and the 60-yard shuttle, so just as I said that, I'm talking about the other groups, but that kind of gives you, you know, a broad estimation of what these guys are doing. And when you look at their 40 times, not nearly as important, but think of pulling guards. Think of getting to the second level and doing stuff. Really what I wish that they put on here, period, was just their 10-yard split. That's what's important to me. That when you have them run the 40, that's fine. But count, I mean, their 10-yard split should be counted for something, because that's what you want. That's how explosive you see guys are. That's the power that they can bring. You know, that's important in my opinion. It's harder to differentiate what's good from bad, because we're talking about tenths and hundreds of seconds between fast and slow in that short of a distance. But it is telling when you see a guy who's well above the rest of them. That kind of tells you how explosive they are, and something that's interesting to watch as the process moves on. But Brian O'Neill, 4.82. Desmond Harrison from West Georgia, 4.9. Colton Miller, 4.95. Noteboom, Williams, and Quisenberry all kind of wrapped out the top 10 there, with Quisenberry at 5.09. So, I mean, some impressive stuff from the offensive linemen. We have to remember, you know, that's why they tell us that tape matters, because the tape does matter. And also, what you're getting from this is an athletic profile that does not mean everything. But when everything else is even, I think that the teams more than likely lead or, you know, head off to the more athletic guys, especially with offensive linemen, because offensive linemen, man, they are in the trenches, not just with the defensive linemen and the defensive front seven, but these guys get run in the back, chopped at the knees from their own teammates, running backs, falling on from guys trying to rush the passer, swinging their legs around. I mean, these guys, you can't just have a big old gravy belly guy out there that can't really move, because if he gets hit, you know, it just their athleticism, their natural athleticism is also going to affect their natural ability to heal, I would think. I mean, a guy who just does not have that kind of stamina with his lower body or his upper body is not going to heal as quick. I think that matters to teams. And I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into that, but that's what I would take from it. So, I mean, this lineman group is interesting, to say the least. I think the Colts, even if they get a lineman in the first couple rounds, I think the Colts are going to do well in that regard. That's a big it's a big move, as far as I'm concerned, to have a top couple round lineman, and one that you can think that you can plug right in, play right now, can start and protect Andrew Luck into the future. That's important. So let's hit the running backs here before we get into Saturday's combine notes and such. The leaders of the pack in the 40-yard dash were Nyheim Hines from NC State with a 4.38. That's insane quick for a running back. Saquon Barkley, also a 4.4, also insane quick. Kalon Ballage from Arizona State, 4.46. He did a nice job. I thought that he was a guy that a lot of teams are really taking note of. Also, Rashad Penny, 4.46, and he is a beast, guys. I mean, just looking, you see his performances, but then look at his statistics among other running backs in college. He is among the, you know, massive, the top in all of that statistically. You can pick apart some of his, the way, like his mechanics through, I mean, if that makes any sense, of the running game and how he, his false steps, does he have any, is he a one cut guy, you know, that kind of stuff. You can kind of dissect all of that and come up with whatever result you end with. But the dude's got the stats. He's a hell of an athlete. The Colts would be lucky to get him. This is kind of my point with, you know, like a Barkley kind of guy, Rashad Penny, a guy like that. I even like Kalen Ballage more than most people do. But, you know, Darius Geis with a 4.49, impressive. Nick Chubb, 4.52. And I'm going to read off some more of these guys because a lot of the running backs are who we're really hearing about. So Justin Jackson, Northwestern. I just put a post up on Stampede Blue about him as well. A guy who could be one of the later round running backs the Colts might get. Like, let's say, for example, the Colts get one in free agency. Maybe the Colts draft one in the first few rounds, four rounds or whatever. Maybe they don't. One way or another, the Colts could get Justin Jackson also or solely in like the sixth round, fifth, sixth round. And I think this kid's really good. I really do. I like the way he plays. He needs to control his pad level a little better and stuff like that. But, I mean, that was really one of the very few marks that I saw. He was hit a lot in the backfield. That was in due in large part to his crappy offensive line. So he's not going to be a guy who can create a ton because, I mean, he's only getting like 4-8 yards per carry, where a lot of these guys in this game, in this class are around 8-9 yards per carry. I mean, some big numbers from some of the best running backs in the class. And I get that. But, man, if he gets a hole, man, he zips. He's got some massive explosiveness. So there's something about him I like in the late rounds as well. I would prefer that he's not the only running back that they draft. I would. But if he was available back there and, you know, he's the best player on the board for the Colts, I would be happy with him as another back because I would prefer that the Colts get two backs out of this offseason one way or another. So Bo Scarborough, I think he impressed people with his 4.52. Big dude. You know, he's just not going to, you know, just you look at his overall size. I mean, he's 6'1", 228. That is extremely quick for what he was expected to do. He just was not expected to put those kind of numbers up. At least I don't think I would have guessed him as a 4.6 guy maybe later. But, you know, he's somebody to watch, I think. If he's healthy, because I think that's one of the biggest questions about him. If he's healthy, he's going to be impressive. Sony Michel with a 4.54, even slower than Scarborough. So think about that. Sony Michel's quick. Royce Freeman, 4.54. Also, Akram Wadley from Iowa, 4.54 as well. Notable, Mark Walton, 4.6. I was expecting him to move quicker than that, and he just didn't. Also, Ronald Jones was a weird one. I think he pulled up, if I'm not mistaken. He had a 4.65. And that was, like, with him jogging the last 10 yards was kind of weird. So he was notably faster than that. We just don't necessarily know how fast he was. So let's move on to the bench press, where Nick Chubb led with Saquon Barkley with both 29 apiece. Chris Warren from Texas, running back, with 25. LaVon Coleman with 23. Sony Michel with 22. Darrell Williams with 22. And Cameron Petway with 22. As we get down the line here, now this is kind of the position where you want a guy to kind of show. He's not a massive dude. You expect, you know, the lineman to throw up 25, 30, 35, whatever they're going to do. But you want I want my running back to be able to have some of that shoulder and bicep strength, you know what I'm saying, that you get from bench press. And I wanted to see some of these guys hit 20. I wanted to see Royce Freeman hit 20. I thought for sure he would. Mark Walton, some of these other guys. Darius Geis, I expected him to. Maybe I'm just giving unrealistic expectations, but Ballage also, I wanted to see him do that, and Scarborough as well. Rashad Penny, I didn't know whether he would or not, but I wanted to see some of these guys get close to 20, and only a couple of them did with 18. But not very many. Most of them were in 12, 13, 14 range, 15, and not necessarily to crack on them or anything like that. It just wasn't what I expected. So maybe it's on my personal expectations. But again, Saquon Barkley at the top of the vertical with 41 inches. Kerryon Johnson and Bo Scarborough, both with 40. Impressive. So far, Bo Scarborough's having a very impressive combine, and I don't think that many people expected it. So if you were expecting it, you were definitely among, you know, the smaller group. But Nick Chubb and Justin Jackson, all remember the guy I said from Northwestern, also 38.5 inches on their vertical leap. So some of these guys, pretty impressive. You expected them to have good leaps, you know, everything else. John Kelly, also a guy who's kind of flying under the radar right now, was a 35. I thought that was pretty impressive with him, as well as Royce Freeman with 34. So, I mean, I think that a lot of people are comparing Royce Freeman to basically a, you know, a rookie Frank Gore, and I think by body type and how he runs as a player, not so much with results and all that good stuff. But let's go on to the broad jump, and we hear, again, Bo Scarborough, 129 inches, leading the pack. Pretty interesting. I did not expect him to do that at all, especially in this one, because he's such a big dude, almost 230 pounds he's doing this with. So he's a massive, strong guy. I think that somebody might find Bro Scarborough a really good fourth-round pick. I think that people are going to be impressed with him. I just do. I think that the injuries, you know, are a factor with him and kind of his past. I just don't know how much, to be quite honest with you. So Nick Chubb also came in with 128 inches. Kerryon Johnson, Rock Thomas, both with 126 and 125 respectively. Kyle Hicks, Chase Edmonds, Kalen Ballage, all with 122. And, you know, we get further down the list here. Kelly and Penny were both at 120. Walton was at 118. Freeman at 118 as well. And then, you know, further on down, you know, you get to like a guy like Dimitri Flowers out of Oklahoma with 109. Expected a little more out of some of these guys, and maybe it's just because you don't hear their names every day, but, you know, I still thought that they would be more impressive than that. Chase Edmonds led the three cone with 6.79. Justin Jackson from Northwestern right behind him, 6.81. Royce Freeman, 6.9. Kalen Ballage, 6.91. And Jarvion Franklin, 6.93. Moving down, Nick Chubb, 7.09. Not impressive to me. You know, I don't know if it is to anybody else. Not impressive to me. I expected him to be closer to 7 flat. And I think that that's, you know, it seems like we're making a big deal out of, you know, tenths of seconds or hundreds of seconds here. But it is a big deal when this is kind of what you're expected to be. We talk about, you know, the Nick Chubb and the combination between him and some other guys. Nick Chubb is wanting to promote, you know, his quick and his agility and his burst and all that. And, you know, in order for him to do that, he needs to have, you know, the best times he can. Moving on to the 20-yard cone. Chase Edmonds and Justin Jackson at 4.07, both really impressive times. Royce Freeman's 4.16 is tied with Ryan Nall from Oregon State, a guy who's been – he's in the up around the top here quite a bit. So Chris Warren from Texas at 4.18, and Sony Michel with 4.21, along with Darrell Williams from LSU, Saquon Barkley with a 4.24. Nick Chubb also with a 4.25, by the way. So some guys that were, you know, putting on some pretty good times there, showing their burst, showing their ability to cut, basically, you know. I mean, that's what it kind of is. You want to see their speed and quickness. Now, rounding it out with the 60-yard shuttle, Justin Jackson led that from Northwestern, 11.06, and he blew everybody away. Honestly, it wasn't even close. Ryan Nall is the next with 11.57. Chase Edmonds, Royce Freeman, Jarvion Franklin all follow closely behind. Chris Warren with a 12.03. Not a lot of the guys haven't had their times either put in or they didn't do it. I'm not sure which, because we only saw a handful of those, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, all in all, from the running backs and the offensive linemen, some good times. It was pretty interesting to see what they did. But hang tight. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be right back, and we'll get into the Saturday workouts, and we'll start with the wideouts. All right, guys, welcome back. We're going to get into the Saturday workouts that we just saw today / yesterday, depending on if you're listening to this later tonight or tomorrow morning. Impressive from a lot of these guys. We got to see some of the real burners of this group, and this wide receiver group is pretty interesting. Now, a lot of, and we'll just call it the narrative because I don't have a better word for it, is that this wide receiver class is pretty thin, and I have grown kind of accustomed to believing that myself. But the further you get into some of these guys, you see And just watching like their gauntlet, watching these guys run and track balls and stuff from the quarterbacks, depending on which situation it was in. But, you know, ultimately this entire process was both quarterback and receiver, because you want to see guys do both. And although they're not putting the names of the receivers up when it's considered, you know, an air quotes quarterback drill, it absolutely should be, because you want to see those guys as well. And a lot of times you don't remember the numbers. You can't read the names on the back of their shirts. I think that is something that the NFL Network is sadly missing out on. They are going to be able to get both guys. Okay, everybody's already focusing on the quarterbacks. Put both of their names on the screen. It's not difficult. It's really not. I mean, I know they've got a list for one and maybe not the other at the time, but I just can't imagine that it would be that hard for NFL Network to have both of their names and be able to do it in a timely manner so that you can see. Or you know, talk about them. You know, tell us who the receiver is so that we can see it until we have to try to, you know, look through the screen and find his name on the back of his jersey, which isn't easy. But we got to see these guys do a little bit of everything. They went through their own drills. We got to see kind of how they run their, naturally run their routes. We got to see their hands catching ability through the gauntlet, stuff like that, tracking the ball with the seam route, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it. I think that's actually a quarterback drill. It's nice to see the entire kind of process between those two positions kind of working off each other the whole time. DJ Chark was one of the biggest guys that everybody's talking about him boosting up draft boards and everything else. And it's interesting to see him do that. And it's interesting for me to hear that, because if you don't see that on tape, you already knew the guy was athletic, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. He is one of the elite. So if you're moving him, aren't you moving him maybe just a couple spots, you know, maybe above other guys with less impressive athletic profiles? More than likely they're at other positions or something that, you know, you just haven't seen yet, or you just leave it be and kind of, you know, minuscule mess with it, just kind of tippy toe people up a couple spots. I just don't think it's realistic when you say this guy's a mid second round talent. Okay, you're not telling me or expecting me or any of the people listening to this to believe that because he runs a tenth of a second faster, or a hundredth, you know, 300ths of a second faster, or that he ran a good drill, a good route running drill with no defense on him and in spandex, that you're boosting him up from that to maybe the late first round. I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me. DJ Chark is a hell of an athlete, though. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. He looked pretty good. I think he's a good ball player. I think he is. I don't know where I'd put him. I think he's probably in that mid-first to mid-second range. I don't have any idea. I'm not throwing specifics out because I don't know. I don't have a board of my own, so to speak, so I'm not about to like pinpoint it into a specific area. But I think that that's kind of about where he fits for me. He's not an elite guy in this draft. He's not one of the top 10 or 15 guys. So I would say, you know, that's about where he falls. But man, he had a kick-ass day at the combine. He sure did. Also, Valdez Scantling had a 4.37 40. Robert Foster, a 4.41. Also did Antonio Callaway. He was a guy that people, I think, were expecting a little bit out of today. There was a lot of talk about him with excitement, but he went through the gauntlet, and if I'm not mistaken, he had a really terrible time with that. But he looked pretty decent through the rest of the time. You'll hear his name again on some of these as well. But DJ Moore, one of the guys that the Colts have had an interview with or expect to have an interview with, a wide receiver from Maryland, ran a 4.42. Some of the guys that you get down here, you haven't heard a bunch about. Byron Pringle, 4.46. Christian Kirk, I like him. He's considered, I think, a slot receiver by at least Draft Tech and some of the other guys who kind of specify what their role is or what they expect their role to be. But I really liked the way he played. I liked the way he ran his routes. He's smooth catching the ball. I thought he was pretty impressive. And, you know, Michael Gallup, a lot of people have talked about him from Colorado State. He ran a 4.51. Let's see, Sutton. He ran a 4.54. Alan Lazard from Iowa State ran a 4.55. A lot of these guys were pretty good for their size. And you're seeing a lot of different sizes in this draft, too. You're seeing some 6'3", 6'4 guys, 6'5 even, and then you're seeing some 5'11", you know, 5'10 guys. And those are the guys that I think majority or people are expecting to be in slot receivers. They just don't have number one, number two receivers that are T.Y. Hilton size very often, I think. But one of the guys, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out there because this is my show and I'll talk about it if I want to, Jahleel Scott from New Mexico State, 4.56. He's 6'5", 218. That's a great number for him, and I think that he is going to be a steal for somebody late in the draft. I truly do. So a lot of fast guys wearing underwear, you know, who are going to be receivers. But they was pretty impressive. I mean, they had some real burners in this group. 4.34 is insane. But Caron White, his brother plays for the Bears, or, you know, will eventually possibly play for the Bears. 24 reps on the bench press. Anthony Miller from Memphis, another first-round talent, top 10, top 15, or I'm sorry, top 5 at the position. 22 reps. Jamon Moore from Missouri, 21. Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame, 20. Also Christian Kirk with 20. Devon Grayson, 19. Dylan Cantrell, Cortland Sutton, both Sutton at 18. I'm not going to shake that, am I? Those guys all were at the tops of that. And if you want to get down to some of the guys who were notables, like Jahleel Scott, like I just mentioned, he had 16. DJ Chark, 16. Calvin Ridley, Jester Way, and Scantling Valdez, Byron Pringle, and DJ Moore, all with 15. So kind of there's your middle-of-the-road guys as far as the brute strength type group. But getting into the vertical, now this is where you see the guys that you really want to see their athletic profile meet up with their 40. And for some of these guys, it did. DJ Chark won the 40. He also won the vertical, 40 inches, just 1 inch off, if I'm not mistaken, from Barkley. So you can see that from a receiver, a little bit lighter obviously, but and you've expected that, you know, the weight obviously makes a difference. DJ Moore, 39.5. Dylan Cantrell, 38.5. Jamon Moore, 38. Alan Lazard, 38. And Jester Way, 38. Also Traquan Smith, a guy that you guys might want to keep your eyes on. He's somebody that I just think is getting too much talk not to be a consideration. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts end up having him in for some sort of a conversation. He's got the right build. He's a good ball player, too. 37.5. And then moving down the group here, Christian Kirk, 35.5. And Deshaun Hamilton, a guy from Penn State, 34.5. So you see, and also Jahleel Scott, 34.5. So getting that down to kind of the elite, you know, it is fun once you see the same names at the top of these lists. Again, moving on to the broad jump, DJ Moore, 132 inches. That's pretty good. Not a top, but it's pretty good. Traquan Smith, 130 inches. Dylan Cantrell, 129. DJ Chark, 129. I'm sorry, Dylan Cantrell is 130. But Jester Way, who's all being in this top 5, top 10 grouping on all of these as well, so... I don't think he's a great receiver, just my opinion, but he's athletic, you know. I mean, that's got to count for something, right? And then there's a big drop-off from those guys down to Cortland Sutton. I did it. Jahleel Scott, Devon Grayson, and Scantling Valdez all came in at 124 inches on theirs. So you're seeing some of the athletic guys. Even the athletic guys, you know, there's a big jump, you know, 8 inches from those guys who are athletic to the elite in the athletic with like DJ Moore and some of those guys. So moving on to the 3 cone, you have Dylan Cantrell leading the pack there with a 6.56 alongside Jamon Moore, Cortland Sutton at 6.57, Simi Cobbs from Indiana, 6.7, Deion Kane, 6.71, Stephen Mitchell and Deshaun Hamilton, both at 6.75 and 6.84, respectively. Calvin Ridley, notable, 6.88. Kind of moving on down the line here, you're seeing DJ Moore at 6.95. Not something that you necessarily expected, but I just expected him around the rest of the top of the group. Not so much that I expected a specific number, but a lot of those guys, like I said, all that has something to do with their quickness, their how elite they are. Dylan Cantrell, Texas Tech, again, 403. This guy's in everything, right? Jamon Moore, 404. DJ Moore at 407. Cortland Sutton at 411. And Kiki Coté at 415. I like that name. Deshaun Hamilton also is at 415. James Richie James at 416. So You're seeing some of these guys at the top of these lists all the time, right? I mean, this is what we got. Guess who at the 60-yard shuttle? Dylan Cantrell, 1085. Cortland Sutton, 1106. DJ Moore, 1118. Simi Cobbs, 11.2. Trey Quinn, 11.4. Just a lot of these guys all at the same, you know, at the top. I mean, it's going to be that way. So let's hit up some of these tight ends and see what they've got, because I think that there was a couple guys that are, you know, massively being under talked about. And, you know, Jalen Samuels, 4.54 with Mike Gesicki of Penn State. That dude blew the doors off the combine, to be quite honest with you. Hayden Hurst, 4.67. He had a kick-ass combine, too. He really looked good. And Mark Andrews from Oklahoma, 4.67 as well. He looked like he was laboring a lot while he was running, but he still got down there pretty quick. So, also, Jordan Thomas from Mississippi State and Indiana tied in. Ian Thomas were at 4.74. And, you know, there's not a lot of notables after that, to be quite honest with you. Tyler Conklin from Central Michigan at 4.8. You know, some of these guys, like Ryan Izzo, who's a blocking tight end, almost a 5, you know, 4.94. So he's not going to be impressing too many people. And be honest with you, he's only going to be used very sporadically in the passing game anyways. But moving on to the bench, we got Dallas Goedert at 23, leading the pack from South Dakota State, a guy we've been talking about for a while now as being one of the top tight ends. Mike Gesicki, again, there he is. Chris Herndon, 22 and 21. David Wells at 20. And then Ryan Izzo, Tyler Conklin, both at 18, along with Durham Smith, Jalen Samuels, and Mark Andrews is right below them at 17. Again, you know, guys sitting here at the top, some of the tight ends didn't lift, and that's, you know, kind of where we get with the majority of these guys. You know, we don't have the tight ends verticals put up yet. We have, or NFL.com hasn't gotten those yet. But we do have their broad jumps, and their broad jumps were pretty impressive too, especially Gesicki's. 129, Ian Thomas at 123, Jalen Samuels 121, Tyler Conklin and Hayden Hurst at 120. So again, you're hearing the same names up at the top of each of these leaderboards. And, you know, that's important, because you're going to know who the most athletic guys are. But when you see who has been there the whole time, keep that in mind as well, as far as like the top of the group. Mike Gesicki leading the pack in the three cone again with a 6.76. Jalen Samuels, 6.93. Dalton Schultz from Stanford at 7. Will Disley from Washington at 7.07. Tyler Conklin at 7.13. And Ian Thomas, 7.15. Pretty impressive for the three cone from the big guy. I think that a lot of people were impressed with him in general, and I think that he is going to be one of the better tight ends in the league. I think that he's just one of those things. You come from Indiana, you know, it's not a big football school, has been gotten better as it's gone on, but it's been impressive to them lately. The Hoosiers are getting a lot of guys in the draft, and, you know, they've done pretty well for themselves, especially in running back, quarterback. I think that there's, you know, some receivers and some defensive backs who are going to be getting their names called as well as a linebacker in this group, and we'll see him tomorrow. So I'm excited to see that. But Gesicki led the 20-yard cone among the group at 4.1. Ian Thomas, Indiana, 4.2. See, he's pretty impressive. Durham Smythe, 4.23. Tyler Conklin, 4.23. And then it goes down to Jalen Samuels at 4.28 and Hayden Hurst at 4.37. So, interesting group, continuing to impress, are the same guys. Gesicki, again, led in the 60-yard with 11.33. Tyler Conklin, 11.43. Durham Smythe, 11.86. Marcus Ball from Ohio State, 12.06. And Will Disley at 12.12. So, like I said, you're seeing the same names through all of these. And it's to be expected at this point, I think. You know, we're not going to go through the 40s for the quarterbacks. Nobody cares about those. I mean, nobody does. You know, there was only one guy who did the bench, and that was Kurt Bankert from Virginia. I think he just wanted to sit down and do them, so he got 16 reps in. You know, he wanted a workout, but some of them did do their broad jumps, their verticals. And Josh Allen led the group with 33.5, Tanner Lee, 32, Logan Woodside, 31.5. Kurt Bankert with 31, also with Josh Rosen at 31, and Kyle Lauletta. So those guys did that. The broad jump was a little different as well, but Josh Allen again continues to prove that he's a little more athletic than people expect with a 119. Tanner Lee, 115 inches. Danny Etling with 114. Kyle Lauletta, 113 inches. And then Quentin Flowers from South Florida, Austin Allen from Arkansas, and Kurt Banker from Virginia, all at 112. Baker Mayfield was 111. Josh Rosen was also 111 in that group as well. So moving on to the three cone, we get to Quentin Flowers at 6'8", Josh Allen 6'9", Logan Woodside 6'9", Kyle Lauletta 6'9", Sam Darnold 6'9", and, you know, Baker Mayfield at 7. I was expecting him to be better in this just out of assumption, not really for any specific reason, but he wasn't. And you don't see him among too many of the leaders. He is, however, in the 20-yard shuttle, which was Kyle Lauletta at 4.07, Woodside at 4.15, Rosen at 4.28, along with Baker Mayfield, tied for third in the group. So that improvement, right? Nick Schmanek from Texas Tech was 4.32, Kurt Bankert 4.33. Mike White, 4.4, got to watch, in my opinion, moving up draft boards. I think it's going to be a very interesting situation for him, and I think that he is going to possibly be one of the guys that really – I think he's one of the guys that'll kind of be forgotten along draft day until it gets to about the third round, and I think he's going to get picked, and I think he's going to end up being a starter. I truly do. That's just my assumption from what I saw and have seen of him. I know there was talk about his attitude, but give me a break. Who hasn't at quarterback had somebody talking about them in the past few weeks, several weeks? So I couldn't care about that. You don't hear about it from a team, and it's not being loud, then it's probably not a situation anyway. So a lot of mixed profiles, a lot of elite profiles, and a lot of guys that are just kind of there. You know, that's what we've seen basically in the first 2 days of the draft. So I'm excited to see what we've got Sunday. Like I said, I'm excited to see Indiana's Tigray Scales. I think he's going to do a little bit more than what most people think. There's just a very good group. I mean, we're seeing basically all of the front seven tomorrow. And this is a group that all Colts fans should be watching, because we are going to see the linebackers, the edge defenders, and the defensive line. Also, we're not going to see Maurice Hurst. Now, this is kind of a situation that kind of may put an interesting turn on the top 10 in the first round. Maurice Hurst, defensive lineman from Michigan, apparently had a heart condition and was sent home. So, I mean, they likened it to the cat down there in New Orleans, and for some reason it's escaping me. But anyways, you know what I'm talking about. And he apparently, you know, they don't know what the situation is, but when he was in the combine or performed at the combine, he had the same thing. And they sent him home. He played in Detroit and went on and ended up in New Orleans. And apparently, you know, they sent him packing from the combine. So that's a little scary in that regard. It's not the same as a guy being sent home, obviously, for other reasons. But this is equally going to affect either A, where he's drafted, or B, if he's drafted at all. And I mean, I'm talking about for his health. I'm not talking about like he should be ashamed, you know, or something like that. It's just one of the top defensive linemen, if not the top defensive lineman. And some people have him as a top five talent in this draft, top 10 anyways, a ton of them do. So this is possibly going to shake up the beginning of the first round. I think that it's interesting anytime a guy gets sent home, especially with something that's medically related. You just see almost like a breakdown of, you know, who's behind him, especially if it's not a deep class. I think there is a fairly solid class this year, so I don't think that that'll be the case. But it's, you know, too bad that he wasn't able to perform, and just hope that he is able to, whatever it is, get cleared and be able to lead a normal life and be able to get himself into the NFL. If he is medically cleared, you can be assured that he is going to impress, and he'll have a pro day and all that. So, you know, maybe this isn't the biggest issue in the world, but, you know, it's still the whole – it's the thing. It's the whole experience for these guys. These guys love coming to Indianapolis to do this. They like to talk. You know, the scouts like to talk about them. And media guys like to talk about them. It's a really fun environment. And if you haven't been – to the combine, or you haven't been downtown for a few days during the combine, come down and just be a people watcher, if nothing else. But guys, we're going to wrap it up. I think that, you know, we kind of touched on just about everything in today's show. We're also going to be, you know, coming back with a little bit more in the next couple days. We'll probably have a wrap-up show on Monday that will put something out, you know, about the final day, the Sunday, because I'm going to have a lot of takes on that, I feel like. I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about with this front seven group on Sunday. So, and we've also got the defensive backs on Monday, so that'll be interesting. We'll do a little bit of everything, so stay tuned, guys. Come back and join me right here on the ColesCast. You guys can get me on Twitter at MDainley_NFL. And as always, you guys know that you can go to Stampede Blue for everything Indianapolis Colts, all your information and analysis. So thank you guys for joining me. I'll talk to you next time right here on the ColesCast. Like 07, trophy and rings. Matt Dainley hosting the Colts in this thing. Let's air it out. Fly out. Let's air it out. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out.